£800 Gorilla Records.
Ah, food. Like Virginia Woolf once said, one cannot think well, love well, sleep well, if one has not dined well. Good food is a necessity. As you might imagine by now, this fourth episode of £800 Gorilla is all about food and gym. With technology making exercise more accessible, have people become more driven to lose weight, or are they just more lazy? Kathleen Madigan talks about her experience.
I would exercise more, but all I do is fly around. I'm just sitting in airports. She goes, well, you should go get a Fitbit. This is what this is on my arm. It would work better if I charged it properly. But this counts your steps and your miles, and it'll have your heart rate if you want to enter your food. It's like this. I go, okay, well, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll get addicted to seeing how many steps I get in a day. So from my iPad on my couch, I ordered the Fitbit from Amazon. I paid the extra money to have it overnighted. So the following day, this was on my porch, on my front steps, which I now know is 6.5 steps away from my couch. And then I opened it up and I Googled it because I wanted to know how did it work. I mean, it can count how far I've walked, steps and speed. I mean, we can't find Flight 370, but I'm not supposed to talk about that. I'm supposed to just let that go. But we have this technology. So I Googled, like, how does it work? Well, it works based on this motion from when you're walking. And then my Irish jackassness kicked in. I thought, but does it know if my whole body's moving? What if I had a glass of wine and I was going like that? Would it know? The answer is no, it does not know. I drank 2.5 miles while watching the last... Thank you. While watching the last Republican debate. I know I won't vote for any politician who says this at any time if they say it. So far, 4 of them have said it. It's like a hack line they say on the campaign trail. Just find it so cheesy where they'll go, people, America is a place where your dreams can come true. I'm here to make your dreams come true. Wouldn't you like your dreams to come true? I'm always sitting there thinking, no, I don't. And the fact that you said that makes me certain you have never drank a box of wine and taken an Ambien. I do not want my dreams to come true. It's horrifying. I did it like 6 weeks ago. Here was the dream. This is the whole dream. I'm in Alaska wearing a sombrero. It's raining Cheetos, but I can't move my arms. Three and a half hours of that. No thanks.
Whilst talking about fitness, or rather the lack of it, body shapes have a part to play in it. Sean McLaughlin says sexy is a distinctive look.
Never felt sexy. I mean, to be honest, you've got to take all this with a pinch of salt. Because I cannot be objective about my own body. I can't. I've always had a very low opinion of how I look. Very, very low. Unnaturally low. Someone once said I might have body dysmorphia. You know, that condition, body dysmorphia, which I think, first of all, is a bit much. And secondly, don't say that to a black woman. I'm so glad you laughed, because in Yeovil, it was a lot of explanations. It's weird, like, I'm very tall. There's an idea that tall men are sexy. Like, I'm 6'4", fully retracted. I think my height is the least sexy thing about me. I do. Like, I was in a bar a few months ago, and I made out with a girl, and she was 4'11". Like, I didn't feel sexy, you know? I felt like I was trying to suck out a borrower's soul. That's what I felt. It's hard to do attractive things if you're built like me. Like, you know what's... Like, I was at a wedding, I wanted to slow dance with a woman, because that's, you know, it's a thing. But if you're built like me, it's not a sexy pursuit. People think you're shielding a child from gunfire. It doesn't really... and just accept they don't mean me. They don't mean me! When people say tall men are sexy, what they mean is Joe Godot, the rugby player. They don't mean Sean McLaughlin, the Quentin Blake illustration. Never mean me. Same as when people say, white men make all the money. That's what people say. White men make all the money. What they mean is, there are too many white male CEOs in the world. They don't mean Sean McLaughlin makes all the money. Sean McLaughlin, who last July gave a backflip as a wedding present. They don't mean me. I never had that much sex, and I'm glad I'm able to talk about that, because I'm sure there's a lot of young men out there, young ladies, who feel the same way, and they feel a bit, yeah, I don't know, just, I was a late bloomer, I suppose. I was sort of cursed as a young man with the body of Jar Jar Binks and the personality of Jar Jar Binks. A lot of it was circumstance as well, I should say, a lot of it was circumstance. Like, you know there's that classic image, erotic image of the lady putting her finger around the bowl of keys, trying to pick which key comes up. Like, I don't drive, so I could never do that car key pull thing. I think it would somewhat ruin the erotic illusion if in amongst that bowl there was just one printed Megabus confirmation.
FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
Diane Buswell.
Thank you.
Strictly.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're dating Joe.
Yes.
He was your dance partner last year, right?
Yes, he
so,
was.
I always wanted to ask.
Uh-oh.
Who put on who first?
It was one of those things, like, obviously during the show, we were honestly so, so busy with learning a routine every week. And it wasn't until after the series that we were like, oh my gosh, we really did enjoy spending all this time together.
And
ended up, being together.
It is very, and it's cute that it's managed to succeed outside of the show.
Access All Areas, every Thursday from 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with £800 Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the fourth episode of £800 Gorilla. Today's show is all about food and the gym. It was only 2016 and Michelle Obama was concerned with dieting and exercise, the Let's Move program. But is portion control a part of the past? Judy Gold explains how it can ruin a meal.
You know, the other day, I was literally in a conversation with a thin person. I swear to God, thin person. And we're talking, and in the middle of the conversation, she goes, oh, my God. And I said, wait, are you okay? What happened? I'm sorry. And she's like, no, I'm sorry. I just realized I totally forgot to eat today. Talking about you forgot to eat, okay? No one forgets to eat, okay? That's like forgetting to pee or forgetting to breathe, okay? Oh my God, let me tell you, I've never fucking once in my life forgotten to eat, okay? Not once, never! Forget. That's all I fucking think about. It's like no one fucking eats anymore. And everyone's like, got all these rules and I'm not eating that. Let me tell you something. All you little healthy people are going to live to 150, be walking down the street with shit dripping down your fucking leg, okay? Have fun with that. At least I'm alive. So last summer, Elisa and I, see, like, I don't know about you, but I now have friends that I can't go out with because of their fucking food problems, you know what I mean? Because it just ruins the meal, right? So, all right, last summer, Elisa and I go out with these new friends, you know? And we go to this fancy place, and they're rich, so they were paying. Anyway, so, but we acted like we took our wallet out and everything. You know, do you ever do that with really rich friends? You're like, oh, let me reach for my, oh, really? Oh, you are? Because you have $5 billion? Oh, let me get my... Okay, all right, so I knew they were paying, but we faked. Anyway, so we're sitting at the table, And it's me and Elisa and our friends Maria and Betsy, and they're really nice. And we ordered like starters and like champagne, you know. And we're sitting there, you know, having our start, whatever the hell. And then the waiter comes over, and he was as gay as you. And he comes over and he's like, "Are you gals ready to order your entree?" And I was like, "Sure, yeah. I'm gonna get the steak, pois, blah, blah, blah." And then Elisa's like, "Oh, I'm gonna get the scallops and risotto." And then Maria's like, "Oh, I'm gonna get the lobster tail." And Betsy is sitting literally right across from me, looks up at the waiter and says, "Is it possible to get the crab cake appetizer portion as my entree?" And I was like, are you fucking serious? Are you kidding me? You're going to sit there and pick at a little crab cake while I'm shoving steak and French fries down my throat? I don't fucking think so, bitch. You're not ruining my goddamn meal, Miss Portion Control, okay? No, it's not possible. It's called a doggy bag, asshole, okay?
Dieting has almost become a job itself with the intense concentration that it requires. Is it worth it?
So, 2016, I did Shakespeare in the Park right here in New York City. Thank you. Thank you. I'm a Shakespearean actress. That was not a humble brag. It's actually for the joke. Anyway, it was an all-female Taming of the Shrew. I played a man. Shocking. All right, so... All the women who were playing male parts had bodies. You know, they looked like were normal size. And then all the women who are playing female parts are like your normal actress, like really skinny, like bones. You know, it's hard. It's like, you know, I mean, you guys live in New York. Like, you see actors walking down the street. They're way thinner, especially the women, are way thinner than you think they are. It's like Kelly Ripa is like a head and a shoelace, okay? I don't know how that fucking thing stands up straight. I'm not kidding. It's like one vein and her head going back and forth. And she has a fucking show, and I can't get a fucking show. Okay. So one day, it's like 3 days before our previews, right? So I go backstage. I notice all the skinnies are in one big dressing room together. And there's like all this food. There's like, you know, and then there's blender. They all have like $700 water bottles, you know, that keep things cold for like a year and a half. And then they're fucking yoga mats. I'm gonna fucking strangle someone with a goddamn yoga mat one day. Okay. So, I walk in, I go, "Hey guys," you know, cause I felt left out, cause I always feel like I'm in third grade going to the lunchroom. And so I was like, "Hey guys, what's going on in here?" And they're like, "Nothing." I said, "Well, what are you guys doing with the food and everything?" "Oh yeah, a bunch of us are juicing this week." "You're what?" "We're juicing. We're doing a cleanse. So we're cleansing and juicing and juicing and cleansing and cleansing and juicing and cleansing and juicing." "Oh, well, what does that mean?" "Well, we have two of these shakes a day. We do that for 4 days, and then we're going to reintroduce solid food into our diet." Like, what do you mean you're going to reintroduce? What does that mean? What does that mean? Like, your body's going to be, has fucking a maitre d' that's like, "Oh my God, wait a minute. Before you come in, can someone please introduce me to this? What is fucking going on here?" So I'm like, "Well, aren't you hungry?" Like, and they're like, "Well, we can have as much, you know, clear liquid consomme, tea, unsweetened lemonade." I'm like, "Oh, well, that fills me up." So I can see why. So then I'm thinking, all right, there must be something in the shake that fills them up. So I'm like, "What's in the shake?" "Kale, beets, carrots, walnuts, cayenne pepper, apple cider vinegar with motherfucker, hair gel, shoe polish, contact lens solution, and protein powder." "Really? Here's an idea for a cleanse. How's this? Taco Bell. How's that for a fucking cleanse, huh?" "How's that? Eat a fucking... How about this? White Castle, 3 a.m., okay? Clean as a whistle. Wake up clean as a fucking whistle, okay?" is that?
FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
We've got a legend of Ealing, Andrew Levy from the Brand New Heavies.
Hi guys,
what was it like working with Mr. Ronson?
It took me a year to realise that if I write him an email that's longer than 7 words, including not having my name underneath it or a hello on the top, he will never reply. So it took me
you worked
a year.
Out to the exact size of 7 words on.
7 words.
Where's the song?
That's brilliant.
Anytime soon?
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
Joined in this year by Ingrid Oliver, and we're discussing fart jokes. Our favourite fart jokes. If you've got any favourite fart jokes, by all means, write into.
I've been a fan of hashtag.
Hashtag I've got a fart for you.
Yeah, considering I hate them, well, I'm really talking about them a lot.
I really hate acknowledging. Yeah,
so I saw a filmed insert with the band McFly, and they're in like a limo or something chatting. And one of them farted, it just really made me laugh.
No.
I don't like a cartoon fart thing. I like a fart joke where it appears like someone shat themselves or something.
Oh, the shots.
Ian Boldsworth.
A perfect run-in that was to speak with Rob Schneider.
First time I ever heard the C word out loud. I mean, I knew that it existed.
Yeah.
Then when I was 13, my first trip to London, England, and like within 45 seconds of being in the country, I had heard the word about 90 times.
Yeah.
Somebody on a double-decker bus had taken somebody else's seat. The next thing you know, I said, "You fucking cunt. You bloody cunt. You know who you are, you fucking cunt."
Yeah. It's like...
Tuesday Takeover.
My name's Josh from The Skins. I'm joined by Holly Cook and Jamie Rodigan in the studio right now.
Yo.
So, Holly, you were out with Kaiser Chiefs earlier. That's an absolute mazza.
I can tell you that I don't think that Kaiser Chiefs fans really understand Holly Cook. But you've done supports as well. Sometimes it is just a bit weird.
Like, the bigger the band that you're opening up for, the harder it is. You open up for someone that's, like, in the charts, and it's like, we have come to see this band.
Yeah, exactly. They're fans.
We've come to see this band.
Do
you think you are?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the fourth episode of 800 Pound Gorilla. Today's show is all about the double F, food and fitness. With the sausage party being released in 2016, there is no doubt that Americans give their food personification. Dimitri Martin creates a vocal point of this.
If I were designing foods, I would have never come up with the hot dog. That is a counterintuitive food design. Okay, what do you got? All right, we start with the intestine of a dead animal. We take all the meat you were going to throw away, grind it up, shove it into the intestine. I'm listening. What does it look like? A severed penis. Well, could someone choke on it? Very easily. Okay, well, how's it served? On a bun that looks like partially spread apart ass cheeks. What do you say? Sounds like a hit. You're calling it dog. I like that. Yeah, people like that. I like buying shoes because they have those little mirrors. They have those little slanted mirrors around the store, you know? How do those feel? These feel good. I was just wondering, do you have anything that could show me what they'll look like to dogs? Yes, we have these ridiculous mirrors all over the room. Any of these will work. Yes, that's perfect. I don't want to be in the reflection. My identity shouldn't be linked to the shoes at all. I just want floating shins with shoes at the bottom of them. Like I'm 7/8 ghost. Magnifique. It's just weird because it's not like when you buy gloves, they have mirrors off to the side where you're like, oh, there we go. Just the hand and the wrist. That's all I need to know. If you're on the phone with somebody and they're looking up some information for you, for some reason, they make a soft laser sound. It's like a common thing that nobody has a problem with, but they'll be like, sir, let me just look up your account number. There it is, 628-35.
I don't know why they can do that. I know it has to be a soft laser, though. Can't be a good one, you know what I mean? Sir, let's just look up your account. Oh, there it is. 628. Hello? I get mad about things that probably don't matter that much, but they genuinely piss me off, you know? I don't think I would ever go tandem skydiving. So if something goes wrong, you're getting dry humped to death. What a terrible way to go. What happened? Looks like you got dry humped into the earth going about 300 miles per hour. Seems like it was pretty unpleasant for both of the guys. What I like about athletic clothes is that they're perfect for just sitting around in. These are like ambitious looking pajamas. I like this. You never see the English translation of quesadilla. I guess it's just too awkward or something, you know? And for you, sir, yes, I will have the quesadilla cheese female small. Little cheese girl for me. Sounds delicious. Should we put peppers or chicken in the cheese girl? No, she's been through enough. I think we'll just take the melted female. I was eating a quesadilla and I burnt the roof of my mouth. And it really hurt. And I was like, ah, the roof of my mouth, it's all tender. And I thought, wait a minute, the roof of my mouth? This is the ceiling of my mouth. The roof of my mouth is way up here. Whoever named this was not using the attic of their mouth at all. I don't know why, but it seems really hard to maintain your credibility while you're holding a smoothie. Hi, I'm Detective Barnes. We're going to ask you a couple questions. So where were you last night? Mango. That's just really good. Yeah. You can say mind your own business. You could also say mind your own beeswax. But I think that's the only time you can successfully substitute beeswax for business. It's your trip beeswax or pleasure, sir? It's my personal beeswax, I guess. What do? I work in show beeswax. We say show bees for sure. Show bees. I have other examples, and the joke doesn't get any better by listing them. So I'm just... I have an L-shaped sofa at home. Lowercase. Yeah.
Matt Bronger details the relationship with food can be considered a love and hate relationship, whether you are the consumer or the worker.
Talking about restaurants before, I waited tables for 8 years. 8 years, waited tables and bartended. I think, and I believe this, that just like in Israel, you have to serve in the army for a year, in America, you should have to wait tables for 2 weeks. Everybody should have to wait tables for 2 weeks just to get how it is. You know, just so you're not that person that's just like, the bread was a little stale. 1 star on Yelp. Like, you're the worst. They didn't smile enough. 1 star. You know? Like those jerks. But I started out as a food runner, which is the best job in the world. Cause I'm a big dumb animal. I can lift things over my head and carry them around. You know, I'm a pack mule. My wife and I, did a bunch of renovations to the house, and I mostly tore stuff out of the walls and put it in wheelbarrows and threw it in a dumpster outside. You know, when people are like, you've done such amazing things with the house. I'm like, it's all her. All her. She's Han Solo. I'm Chewbacca. Okay. Like, no, and no one ever says, Chewbacca, what's the plan? Ever. Great. Hit him over the head. That's your plan again, Chewbacca? No. You know? And I love being a food runner because you take the food, set it down, and no matter what they say, you leave. Every time. Here's your cheeseburgers. Get some ketchup. Sir? 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 Like, just walk away. You know? Not always, but if they seemed like jerks, I would definitely do that. But the guy who was the head food runner, though, was a little stocky man and had a huge Napoleonic complex. And everyone else who ran food were my size. And this guy was always, like, on our backs and was mean. And he was the kind of guy who'd look out at people and be like, oh, look at that one. Look how fat. Like, say really mean stuff, you know? And one day, me and these guys, these other guys, we're in our 20s, so we could do stuff like this. We had an espresso shot off, okay? So I'm just vibrating, right? That thing where I'm just like, this must be what white drugs feel like, you know? And you won't even say what they're called. Won't even say what that's called. But we loaded up a tray with nachos and burgers like a pyramid, and we're all taking turns trying to lift it, and none of us can lift it, okay? And our boss, or the head food runner, comes around the corner, and he's like, who's that? Who's got that one? And we're like, what? No one. He's like, what do you mean no one, Bronger? Someone's running it. I'm like, that's not for one tape. That's a... He's like, shut up! Who's got it? I'm like... And we're looking at him like, are you crazy? No one can lift this. And he goes, nah, okay, screw it. It's mine. And we're like, no, like, don't. You're going to kill yourself. You know, and you can't be like, no, you're little. Like, he'll stab you right in the leg. You can't do that. You can't say that to a small... You've all seen Goodfellas. You cannot say that to Joe Pesci, right? And so this guy's like, watch and learn. Like, he says that to us. And he gets underneath it, and he puts his hat on backwards, like it's over the top, like he's going to arm wrestle somebody, like, here we go. You know? He's one of those guys that, like, probably has an affliction tattoo at this point. And he gets under it, and he's like, huh! And you see the look in his eyes of, nope, I can't. There's no way I'm getting this up over my head. There's no way, you know? And he's, like, just tipping it, like, trying to put his legs into it. And you know those stories where, like, a car, like, slipped an axle and pinned someone under it, and, like, the mom, even though she's small, with the strength of her motherly love, like, yeah, like, got it up. He got this thing over his head with the strength of his wounded ego. Like, it was him. He's like, yeah, just holding it one-handed. Like, you can see his bones bending in his limbs, staring at each one of us. And he's like, you guys suck. And he goes around the corner and he gets a tray jack. And here's the thing. God will kick you in your butt. Okay. Karma's real. The tray jack catches on a door handle and the whole tray just goes into a crowded Saturday night dining room. I saw this on espresso. I thought I was high. It was like dishes are flying, like a burger just hits a dude weird, like burst, like, ew, what was that? A dish flies like a frisbee, hits a dude right there, that divot, where it looks like a dish should fit, you know, right there. Just hits him while he wasn't looking. And he makes a horrible sound. You know when you hear a man make that, like a horrible, like, oh, that's an embarrassing noise for a man to yell. We've all done that. You know what I mean? Like when you slip on the ice in the air, you're like, and then you land. Kind of that feeling of terror and pain. Because no one's eating, and there's like, is some stuff flying at my face? Is it? No? Okay, I should go back to eating. How about now? I'm ever vigilant. Like, no. Stuff just flying. Wings just go over a whole family. They're like, why? Like, you can't continue your night when you've been covered in hot wings. Can't go to the next bar, just an orange shirt. How are you? I was attacked at a BW3. Can I have a table for four? Oh, that's my daughter's birthday. You know? And this guy's looking, and he just basically threw this tray onto everybody. And everyone's looking at him like, what the heck, man? And all he says is, ah! And goes back in the kitchen like that. Oh, thank you for your weird caveman noise, sir. You painted my daughter in buffalo wings. I appreciate you just screaming.
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggin.
It's the amazing Abigailia Shimon.
I lost my virginity on prom night in a cornfield in Ohio.
Wow.
And that is the most American thing I've ever done.
That is the best thing I've ever heard. Yeah. What a way to lose it.
Yeah.
In a cornfield.
Yeah, in a cornfield. We had a blanket.
So I remember texting a friend afterwards and I was like, it didn't taste like I thought it was going to. That was my confusion.
Harriet Rose.
I'm joined by the wonderful Ray Black. I woke up to my mum listening to my music and singing along to it. And there's one that's like, it's very explicit. And she was singing along and vibing to it.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
like, to my sister in the next room, like, oh my God, I can't believe she's listening to this song. Like, this song is about sex. She waltzes into the room and she's like, there's nothing you're doing that I haven't done before. I was like, oh my God.
So we're all learning new things.
There's nothing you're singing about I haven't done before. So it's fine.
Oh my God.
Joey Page.
I'm joined by Marika Hackman, whose splendid new album Any Human Friend is out now. You are just explicitly honest and quite graphic
yep.
in some places sexually. And do you think it might also be quite difficult when it comes to dating and stuff, because someone can like basically listen through all this explicit stuff?
Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about that.
There you go.
Great, yeah. I mean,
sorry
it might,
to bring
it might
that
be
to
a
your door.
Real turn off.
Yeah, yeah.
Access all areas.
Dan Buswell.
Thank
Strictly.
Hello.
Thank you so
guys.
Much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're dating Joe, and
yes.
he was your dance partner last year, right?
Yes, he
so,
was.
I always wanted to ask.
Uh-oh.
Who put on who first?
It was one of those things, like, obviously during the show, we were honestly so, so busy with learning a routine every week. And it wasn't until after the series that we were like, oh my gosh, we really did enjoy spending all this time together.
So
it ended up, you know, being together.
It is very, and it's cute that it's managed to succeed outside of the show.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on Fubar Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the fourth episode of 800 Pound Gorilla. Today's show is all about food and the great struggle that people call the gym. Is it fair to say that it is brave to eat in a restaurant by yourself? Greg Warren explains the troubles of being the only one at the table.
I saw this the other day. I saw a Domino's pizza being delivered to a McDonald's. That's not supposed to happen. It was weird, man. I mean, it was probably the kids that worked at McDonald's got tired of eating hamburgers. You know, let's get a pizza. They should have told the guy to go around back. He was in line at McDonald's holding a pizza. It did not look good for McDonald's. And I mean, I get it. I get it. It's just kids. Have you been to a fast food restaurant lately? It is all kids that work there. I want to talk to your supervisor. We'll go get Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith's 15, all right? We would go get our district manager, but his mom said he had too much homework. He can't come to work for like 6 days. I eat in restaurants by myself. I'm not proud of it. I'm defensive. I walked into this place the other day. The girl up front looks at me. She goes, just you? Yes, it's just me. I know that I've made some poor decisions in my life. I didn't know I was going to have to explain myself to the hostess at the Macaroni Grill. And they're trying to make small talk with you when you're walking over to the table. So what brought you in today? Food, mostly. I heard that you guys had it. I was looking to eat it. If you eat by yourself, they put you these tables. They're so small, it limits what you can order. What do you want? I want the fajitas, but they're not going to fit. Just bring me the Tower of Onion rings. If you eat by yourself, you can't go to the bathroom. You have to hold it the entire meal because there's nobody to tell them that you're still working on your food. I went to the bathroom the other day. I came back. There's a family of five sitting at my table. I go, hey, man, where's my food? The guy's like, I thought you were done. No, I had one bite. How could you think I was done? I'm going to have to start getting a table right next to the bathroom so I can hear whether they're taking my food away while I'm in the bathroom. I'm in here. I hear what you're doing. Knock it off. It's one bite. One bite. Come on, man. Sooner or later, it's going to be like, sir, do you have a seating preference? I do. Just put me in the bathroom. I don't care. It's just, I'd like a stall if I could.
Yeah. With the consequence of food being in the back of people's minds, Greg Warren highlights that seniors will always remind you that life can be cut short.
I try to go to the gym, man. I go to the gym at like 3 in the afternoon. You ever been at 3? There's nobody in there. It's like me and 4 old guys. Have you seen those guys? They walk around, they talk to each other, they drink coffee. They don't work out. It's like their doctor told them, you guys need to start going to the gym. And they're like, all right. It's like they moved the meeting from Burger King over to the gym. And I've noticed this, old guys will flip out if your shoes are untied. It really bothers them. Your shoes are untied there, fella, tie your shoes. Thanks, man, I'll get him as soon as... No, tie him now, save yourself. I don't know what happened, but a long time ago, a bunch of people must have died from tripping over their shoelaces. It was worse than smallpox. We nearly lost everyone. How did you survive? I was wearing loafers. Old guys like talking about cars, too. They like to exaggerate how quickly new cars depreciate. As soon as you drive it off the lot. That's their favorite phrase in the English language. As soon as you drive it off the lot, loses 90% of its value. Wait a minute. 90%? As soon as you drive it off the lot, maybe if you hit a cement mixer as you're driving it. No, 90%, then you're going to get diabetes 2 days later. Guys, give me advice about women. I asked them, I said, I heard when a woman gets married, sometimes her libido decreases significantly. Is there any truth? As soon as you drive her off the lot. She loses 90% of her value. You still get the diabetes, though. You can't do nothing about that. I like old guys. They're always bragging about their grandchildren, though. That's fine. They lie, though. They just lie. And if you want to lie about your grandkids' accomplishments, I'll go along with it to a certain extent. Just don't get crazy with it. My grandson invented eggs. No, he didn't. I'm working on this website. I think it's going to be popular. It's a website where you can fact check old people's statements about their grandchildren. I think it's going to get a lot of hits, right? Some guys are going to be like, my grandson volunteers at Children's Hospital 3 days a week. Nah, it says here he does community service at Children's Hospital 3 days a week. Apparently he stole a van, so come on. I'm doing old guy stuff already. I bought a mechanical pencil. I didn't even mean to. I meant to buy a pen. They look the same. It's no big deal, but I made that mistake already like 7 times. What kind of mistakes am I going to make when I'm 80? I got a new pen! It's a banana, Grandpa. Oh, that's why nobody answers my letters. I remember when I was like 30, I would look in the mirror and be like, all right, man, you got to get it together. You got to drop like 10 pounds. You got to get some sun, get a new haircut, get a new shirt. You'll be fine. Now I look in the mirror, I'm like, I don't know. I know something's off here, but I can't put my finger on it. It's going to take more than a shirt. I know that. I want to make a commitment to a girl. I need to do it tonight. I need to do it tonight. Because let's be honest, pretty soon, it's not going to be that big of a commitment. Greg, you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife for 10, 12 years tops. With the history of diabetes in your family, we could be looking at 7. Buddy called me up. He goes, hey, man, why don't you meet some young chick and be her sugar daddy? I don't have any sugar, okay? I don't think I could be a splendid daddy, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
FUBAR Radio presents
Ian Molesworth,
joined now by Kadeem Ramsey. So we're talking about Top Boy, which Nat's a bit obsessed with, and you come in with branded Top Boy gear. Are you contractually obliged to do that?
No, I just like it.
It's good, you wear it well.
Yeah, it's nice.
Nice hoodie.
The only show I watch currently is Top Boy. I've been watching Top Boy over and over.
I love that you watch your own show. That's really great.
That's not only it, and I've been watching.
Are you going for your Top Boy tattoo after you've done this interview? Right across your forehead.
I'm scared of tattoos.
Are you really? Are you?
I don't want to be getting a tattoo and the guy says, whoops, that's one thing I don't want to hear.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
We're joined in the studio now by one of my favourite comedians, Rhys James. I always say in taxis and stuff like that, I always say I'm a writer.
Yeah, me too. Have I told you this story before?
No.
The time I got in a taxi, and I always used to do that writer because you don't want to have the conversation with the taxi driver about being a comedian.
But the follow-up question is just you can't get out of, which is, what do you write?
Yeah,
and then I write sitcoms.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I was in this taxi, he goes, what sort of stuff do you write? And I went, comedy. I thought, oh, fuck, mate. And then he went, oh, what type of comedy do you write? And I said, satire. And then the taxi driver said, you know what they say, satire is the lowest form of wit.
Joey Page.
Jim Sturgis joins us in the studio. Do you find when you've been, like, it's obviously rehearsals and filming and that takes a real long time, do you sometimes find the traits of these characters seeping into your life?
There was a film I did called London Fields where I was covered in tattoos. I was playing like a really unpleasant character in that film and it started to rub off on me, and I was sort of walking around thinking I was probably a lot harder than I am in real life, and someone nearly ran me over in a car and I was a little too quick to fucking offer him out.
I come out of this studio on a Wednesday going, I'm well good at this, and then it's like, I might get out of my way, I'm getting on the bus.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the fourth episode of 800 Pound Gorilla. Today's show is all about the double F, food and fitness. From seniors to shortbread biscuits, John Heffron shows how you can earn respect in the aisle of a grocery store.
Speaking of grocery stores, I have to share this story. So I'm at the store with my wife, and we see this guy. This guy's probably about 85 years old, I'm guessing. I'm just, you know. And he's got a pack of Lorna Doone cookies, and the guy's walking, and, you know, he's just sat there. You can tell he's got the New Balance Velcro. He's got the outfit, right? And he goes, and he's got the Lorna Doone cookies, and he puts the Lorna Doones in his cart, and he steps away. Then his wife comes out of nowhere, walks over to the cart, grabs the cookies, and goes, the hell you are, and goes, maybe one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my entire life. So they keep shopping, so I run over, I grab the Lorna Doones, and then I run through the self-checkout, and then I buy the Lorna Doones, and now I'm just standing in the parking lot. So then the wife comes out pushing the cart. The guy's about 10 feet behind her because he's just Eeyore at this point in his life. He's just,
why bother?
Right? So now I got to figure out, how do I tell him I have Lorna Doones? Like, I haven't really figured this out, right? So I didn't know what to do. So I just did it like, I just go like this. He stops, sees me, looks at his wife, and then goes like this. So then I walk over like a pickpocket. I throw the Lorna Doones in his jacket. He zips it, then salutes me. This guy fought Germans. He can't have a shortbread cookie, lady? Right, so now, like, as our homage to this guy, and I'll share it with you guys, so you guys do it whenever you're at a grocery store. This is the keep this guy's memory alive. Me and my wife call it dooning. I don't know how to spell it, though. I don't know if you drop the E, but you get Lorna Doone cookies, get the box, and just when you're walking by somebody's cart, just drop them into the cart. That's all you gotta do. And then every time you see that person coming at you with the Lorna Doones, you'll be like, all right, that was for you, man. So highly recommend doing it. Yeah, I've decided no new information is sticking to my brain, which has to annoy my wife because I don't listen to anything. I keep nothing. I know nothing about myself. She has all that info. I know nothing. Like, if somebody's given us info and she's standing next to me, I'm assuming she's picking up all of that info. Right? We had a contractor over and he's yip-yapping and then he leaves. She goes, what do you think? I'm like, oh, what do you think? Did you even listen to him? Nah. What did you hear? Hi, my name's Mark. Okay. I'm done. Checked out right after that. So what I do is any information I get, I store in my wife's brain. When I need that info, I pull that info down. I use that information. Then when I'm done, I put that information back onto her brain. I basically use my wife as the cloud. But she was ever leave me, I'm hosed because I know nothing about myself. I know nothing. I can't eat at a restaurant without looking at her going, do I like the Caesar salad here? No, it's too anchovy. Okay, I just need the info, not the tone. Thank you. Sometimes there's glitches in the system. Hey, where do we keep the can opener? Where it always is. Then I have to redo my search. Where do we always keep the can opener?
Would you rather eat food or exercise? Well, Greg makes it evident that food would be the majority of the public's answer.
This happened yesterday. I put on my workout clothes and I did not work out. That's basically plain dress up. I might as well have put a cowboy outfit on because I didn't do any cowboy stuff either. This is what I did for a workout a couple weeks ago. I walked. I used to run. Now I walk. At some point, I guess I'm going to stand. What'd you do at the gym today, Greg? I stood for 30 minutes. It was tough, you know. I shifted every 4 minutes, so I'm tired, man. I'm probably going to have to lean tomorrow. I never realized that I walked that frequently until I left my house. My neighbor goes, hey, Greg, are you going for your walk? He called it my walk, like I was 86 years old. No, Rich, I'm not going for my walk, okay? I didn't just take my pills either, and I'm not getting ready to watch my stories. Last time I tried to run, I went to this park, okay? I thought I was going to go on a 4-mile loop. I thought I would start here, I would go around, I would finish at the same place. I got about 5 miles out, and it was not looping. Like, I had to turn around and come back. They had these emergency call boxes every quarter of a mile. I wanted to call one. Emergency call box, what's your emergency? I'm tired. I thought that it was a loop. Can you guys come pick me up? Sir, this is for emergencies only. Do you have an emergency? Yeah, I'm thirsty. I should have said that first. Can you guys bring some Gatorade when you pick me up? I would prefer orange, but I mean, I'll drink whatever. But see if they got orange. They have it. They always have orange. I used to run. I ran cross country in high school. That's not what I would call a fun sport at all. Here's what you do. Run. That's it. We had a coach. I don't know why. His job every day was to say, go. All right, we'll see you guys next week. It's not a good sport. They knew it wasn't a good sport because they came up with a fake name for it. They called it cross country. It should have been called running, okay? They were hoping people would be like, oh, cross country. That sounds like we'll be going places. No, you know, you're not going anywhere. You're going to a park about a mile from your high school, and you're just going to run around that park for about 4 months. And you know how you're going to get to the park? Run. You're going to run there. There's nothing more depressing than having to run somewhere so you can run. Oh, really glad we're done running. Now we can run. You're not going to cross the country. It's 2,800 miles to cross this country. Now, here's the thing. You're going to run all 2,800 miles, but it's going to be in that park over and over and over. There's blades of grass that you'll become familiar with. Oh, hey, Luther, how you doing there? Nice to see you. It's just running. They tried to pretend like there was other stuff. They made a big deal out of stretching. Stretching's important, guys. If you don't stretch, you could get hurt. How hurt? Hurt enough where I don't have to run? I see an angle here. Greg, we're doing the hurdler stretch. I can't hurdle. If I could hurdle, I'd hurdle that fence right there and you would never see me ever again.
From walking to running, Jerry D says even kids find exercising challenging at times, even when trying to embrace the famous Italian Marco Polo.
You guys high school? What do you teach? Both of you? And you're in the same school? Are you married or dating? And you're at the same school?
How awkward is that?
What's that? You're getting points, all right. Yeah. You can't use them because you're with her every 5 minutes of the day. What subject do you teach?
Myself?
Yeah. Biology, and you? Okay, you, is one of you a better planned teacher? She is. You're useless, right? You don't plan anything. The worst thing I did was I made up a game. I was teaching grade 7, and I never had lesson plans. I was teaching phys ed. I'm like, what? So on the way to the gym, I made up a game, and I called it Marco Polo. And in grade 7, that's when kids start to question things. And I always said there was a book, because you never wanted them to think you were making it up. So I'm like, yeah, I just read a great book, and there's a great game. So I blindfolded this kid with a penny. I didn't have anything. I made the game up from the top of the stairs to the bottom. I thought it was great. And I picked this kid, Thomas, who was not very athletic. That was my mistake. And I blindfold him. And I do the whole test. Can you see? No? Okay, good. Like it matters, he can see. Like I really care. And our gym is just 4 cement walls, and I'm following him around, and he's going, Marco! And they're going, Polo! And I'm going, wall! Wall! Terrible. The game sucks. So I added a rule that I forgot from the book. That he gets to yell freeze. Well, I started arguing with a kid, and Thomas, another kid, put his head right by the wall, said, pull. This kid went full speed right into the wall, and he was running like this. So that's like, so he was concussed. He was out. And, which is negligence if you're a teacher, that's what they teach you. So he's kind of sitting on the bench. He's got blood dripping. The penny hasn't been washed since 1950, so it's kind of smelly. And as a teacher, what do? We blame him. Everyone's like, sir, that was your fault. That was my fault. That was my fault. He's running around playing horseplay. You think that's my fault? But you were supposed to fall. No, I was. No. And you back out of it. And my head of phys ed walks in, and everything's chaos. And he said something really funny. He said, what happened? I told him. He said, why don't you blindfold all the kids and have a race from one side of the gym to the other? But when I talked to the parents, I blamed it on the kid. That's how much you lie. They're like, what happened? Well, and he's unconscious, so he can't really contribute. He wasn't listening, so. Then we have these parent-teacher interviews, which are a joke. Like, I'm teaching grade 5 phys ed. I don't even know your kids. The parents are lined up. It's October. We don't know all the kids yet. We have this generic answer. Oh, on task sometimes, he's not. Like, it's just crap we feed them. Grade 5 phys ed. What am I going to say? Oh, it's your daughter Susan? Oh, she moves to her left very well. Yeah, big jumper. Big jumper. So I got these 2 kids in my class named David Durazio and David DiPolito. Very similar names. One's got a 30 average. One's got an 85. Similar names. Both Italian families. The parents come in. I hadn't slept much that night. I was tired. Probably hungover. And I start lecturing the parents because the kid with the 30 average, who I thought I was talking to his parents, had his appendix removed. So I'm trying to give them an out. I said, look, he's not doing very well. Meanwhile, their kid's got like a 90. But he had his appendix removed. And they're like, I don't understand that we don't know about... You don't know that he has his appendix removed? No, we don't know. I said, see, this is a problem. Your son is having organs, and their English is broken. Your son is having organs removed from his body, and you don't know, and I'm lecturing them. No, we don't understand. You don't understand!
With pasta being the most eaten food in the world, Matt Bronger talks about how important comfort food is. No point crying when you can eat.
You can have the worst day and someone will say something that, you know, just perks everything up, you know. Someone can just say something. Like, it could even be something hurtful. You know, I'm from Chicago originally. That's where I was born. I grew up in Portland, Oregon. Then I moved back to Chicago and became a comedian because I fell in with a tribe of jerks that were completely honest with me about everything. And after a while, you build up a thick skin and it becomes a wonderful thing to laugh at. Like, I went through a horrible breakup and walked into a bar after like a week of being alone in my apartment and crying. And I went into the bar and my best friend saw me and he didn't go, "Hey man, are you okay? Ah, it's good to see you, bro. It's good to see you, man. Hang in there. I knew you'd be okay." No, he yelled to the whole bar, "Hey, look who pushed aside all the piles of used Kleenex in his apartment to be with us. This jerk." And it's just what I needed. I went from crying to laughter. I'm like, yeah, man. I've been feeling sorry for myself. But you can't get that on demand. Wait a minute. Yes, you can. You can hear a thing that will perk up your entire day. There's a place in Los Feliz called Palermo's. It's an Italian restaurant. They have the bottles of Chianti hanging from the ceiling, right? Everything, like checkered tablecloths. Like, it's so stereotypical Italian-American. The name of the restaurant should just be la 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 apostrophe S. Like that tune, apostrophe S. House of that. House of mwah, like that guy. And there's a little man who seats you. He's about 4'5". He's a tiny man. And he has a little crosser on his neck, a little tuft of chest hair there, and a little mustache. He looks just like Super Mario lost his hat and changed his clothes. You expect him to jump in the air, punch nothing, and a coin to appear. Like, it's amazing. And that guy has a catchphrase that I will go to that restaurant just to hear, because he seats you and he says it to everyone. You can go in there and you went through the worst breakup of your life. You lost your job. You had a terrible crisis happen. Anything. You can walk in and go, hello. And he's like, "Table for one. All right, this way." And you follow him. And he's got like a jaunty little walk while he's like a little kick step. Like, you know how Luigi jumps and just kicks in the air? He does that as he walks. And then he goes, "Okay, here you go. Here's the menus." And then he says it. He goes, "Here you go. It's spaghetti time." And walks away. Yes. That's right, Mario/Luigi. It's spaghetti time. I don't care what anyone says. It is not Easter. It is not the day my girlfriend left me. It's spaghetti time.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose.
I'm joined by Post Malone.
Hi. First time I went to Wetherspoons, I was in Wolverhampton. It was like the first time I bought my legal beer. It was awesome.
I'm so sorry that that was your first.
No, listen, I love it. It's emblazoned in my mind.
So you've kind of got like a deep connection with Wetherspoons.
Wetherspoons is actually my life.
Was it inspiration for the album?
Yeah. I wrote it all at a Wetherspoons.
Have you eaten at a Wetherspoons?
No, I've never eaten there.
Okay.
Just drank. So you like dinner from Wetherspoons?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking shit.
Well, no, I am a little bit. It's shit.
But it's still good. Well, let's go.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Kabaka Pyramid is our third and final guest of the day.
I just did my favorite thing for the first time on Sunday. I went to the Arsenal
game.
Yeah!
Guna as well!
Guna!
Of course, okay. Guna!
Okay.
I had no doubt!
Okay.
I had no doubt!
I saw the
red
and I was like,
Tottenham.
This white guy was sitting on beside us and it's like, everybody just excited at the
tree.
Yeah,
we're
just hugging each other.
Honestly, I think only two things can get you doing that.
Yeah.
Music and football.
Exactly.
Yeah,
personally, brings people together. Races, everything. Yeah,
absolutely. Sure.
Callum McSwiggan.
Today I am joined by the absolute legends from Pussy Palace. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
You have a lot of people say, you know, oh, we have LGBT plus spaces, everything's fine, everyone's included. But I don't feel like they are, and I don't feel like they are inclusive enough.
It's like you're walking around holding your breath. Mm. And it was only until I went to Pussy Palace that I could actually like, oh, this is what breathing feels like.
Yeah.
But I wasn't umming and ahhing about what I was dressed, how I was presenting, and like what ramifications that would have for me.
Yeah, the evolution of Pussy Palace has really created that, like, oh, there's community.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
That's everything from this 800 Pound Gorilla episode. Don't miss out on the next one, always on FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose.
Duckworth is here.
Yeah.
Does it feel weird watching yourself back?
Mm-mm. As long as I'm doing well. If yeah. it's like moments where like I like totally sucked, or, like my face was weird, or like, I don't know, like just something weird, like a nip slip or some shit like that. And I'm just like,
what's wrong with
God.
The nip slip?
I mean, like there has to be an intentional nip slip. Like,
what,
it's like
Janet Jackson nip slip vibes?
Was that intentional? I don't know if that was intentional or...
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know.
Whatever it was iconic, huh?
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Our guest is Mr. Williams.
Yes, brother.
How you doing, brother? You right?
Yeah, man.
More nice. Weed.
Definitely. Do you still actually smoke? Do you know what I mean?
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.